Now I want to read in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 23, where this one of the apostles, one of the 12 apostles of the Lord Jesus, writes concerning the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, not long before he was crucified, that is, after he had on many occasions, year after year, gone to this capital city of Israel, to Jerusalem. He had done many miracles, wonderful works, but he had preached, he had spoken to the individuals, he had spoken to the religious people, and yet they turned a deaf ear. They didn't take heed to his words, to his teaching, to his ministry. So much so that in chapter 23 and verse 37, Matthew 23 and verse 37, he expresses a heart lament. He's disappointed, but more than disappointed, it expresses a deep concern that the people had not woken up to the fact that they needed him and his message, and they were quite satisfied that what they'd had all their lives and the religion which they practiced was adequate. And they didn't listen to his voice that was personally directed to them. As Matthew records earlier, he had spoken, saying, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That wasn't just physically. If the Lord Jesus was in Jerusalem now and spoke those words, well, he wouldn't expect all of us to take a plane to Jerusalem. Come unto me is a spiritual call, reminding us that the Lord Jesus is the Son of God who came from heaven. He is God, the Son of God eternally, who became man. And he came to do a work, but he came with a message. And the essence of his message was, is, you need me. Now, you say, do I need the Lord Jesus in my life? Yes, you do. You need him now in your life. But you need him eternally. You need him in view of the world to come. Yes, the Bible speaks of this present world and the world to come. This present world where in bodies we live and walk and work and eat and die. The world to come. The existence beyond the grave. We are creatures of eternity. You need him. And he has a personal interest in you. Many think that it's a question of personal interest or choice. If you want to be religious, well, go and be religious. But if you don't want to, well, that's your choice. But the Lord emphasized this personally, come unto me. And now what we're reading about here is his lament. Matthew 23 and 37, speaking of the people in the capital city of the nation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, the preachers, and stonest them that which are sent unto thee, how often would I, personal, would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. You didn't heed. You didn't take notice. You wouldn't do what I said. You wouldn't take notice of my invitation. You know, the Lord Jesus was one of the most profound teachers. He spoke many things that I don't understand. And yet, he was one who was the simplest of speakers. When it comes to the matters of vital importance, the question of our own soul and our relationship to God. He spoke in a form whereby little children can understand. Little children can understand. And as the great teacher, he used simplicity for that. Beyond his profound words, we find his simple parables, simple illustrations, and here's one of them. An illustration which a child can understand as the hen gathereth her chickens under her wings. Well, perhaps in modern cities we don't see too much of it. The days of the vast majority of the people being in the country have passed. Most are city dwellers. Perhaps we fail in this and lack the simplicity of understanding. Well, one thing about it is, if you've never seen a chicken with a brood, seen a hen with a brood of chickens, if you've never heard them with their special call when a hawk flies over, or maybe a dog approaches, at least you can understand. It's simple enough for that. The fact is that the hen is alert to the enemies. And one of the enemies in an open field are hawks, eagles. They delight to swoop down and snatch up a chick. And of course the chick is defenseless. Whereas the hen itself, being a larger bird, and with a lot of fluffy feathers, is far more difficult for even the biggest eagle to grasp, but the chicken is defenseless. But the mother is the one who, anticipating the danger, is alert. And it's amazing how alert they can be when we would not notice a hawk, the hen does. And with a specific call, the chickens know and respond and immediately flee beneath the wings of the mother, between the wings of the hen. For them, it's a place of refuge. For them, it's a place of safety and security. And that simple illustration presents the whole truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus warned us of our danger, of the fact that we have an enemy to our souls, Satan, the devil, demons, his angels, and the power of sin is greater than we can triumph over it. The result of this, the Bible tells us, is to be excluded from heaven, excluded from the presence of God after the end of the life in the world that now is. In the world to come, beyond the grave, we're creatures of eternity, and we're all in danger of perishing. In the claws of the hawk, the chicken is at its end, unable then to be delivered. I'm sure that no hen has ever been able to deliver a chicken from the claws of a hawk that has swooped and grasped it. The chicken has a time and opportunity to respond to the call of the hen and take refuge under the wings of the hen. Now, this wasn't a new illustration. The Bible makes reference to this on many occasions, so much so that David spoke about God being his refuge and strength, being protected, saved under the wings of the Almighty. Even Boaz spoke to Ruth, saying how that when she really got converted to know the Lord, she had put a trust. She had come to take refuge under the wings of the Almighty God. It's an illustration of trust and confidence in one who is able to save and deliver. Just a simple figure, a simple illustration. But I'm going to read now in Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. And the writer, I think Paul, said in verse 18, by two immutable things, things that can't be changed or blotted out, in which it was impossible for God to lie. Let me teach to you tonight this truth. It is impossible for God to lie. You can trust Him. He won't deceive you. Satan will deceive you. So much so that the Bible tells us that all those that are not saved are deceived by this great deceiver. But God won't deceive you. The Lord Jesus speaks sincerely. It says here, it's impossible for God to lie. We, that is, the saved ones, that we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge. That's the picture of the chicken scrambling under the wings of the mother hen. Have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. That's another figure of security, of the ship whose anchor is cast and firm, the firm bottom of the sea, and it can resist the winds. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. It's speaking of heaven itself, beyond this life, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus. Reminding us that the Lord Jesus, having died for our sins on the cross, rose again. And now He lives. He lives. He ever liveth to make intercession for those that flee to Him for refuge. He's the one who is an eternal Savior. But refuge from what? What is the danger? Now, I just want to spend a little time in reminding you about coming danger, whereby you need to be saved from that danger. Of course, we run dangers every day. We run dangers of sicknesses that can cause our death. We run dangers innocently of accidents. This could be our last night on earth. Now that's not just a frightening statement. It's just a reality. Nobody gets a phone call to advise them the day beforehand that you're going to have a fatal accident tomorrow. These things are unexpected. So it's not being an alarmist to say that this could be our last night on earth. The fact is that we daily are in dangers. But then the Bible reminds us of coming disaster in this world. The Bible prophesies, reveals the future. As we all know, it reveals to us that though the Lord Jesus Christ has disappeared from this earth visibly and is in heaven, He's coming back again. The Bible reveals that He's coming back first to take away from this world those of us who are saved, that we might not enter into the time of tragic disaster that will follow. And the Bible speaks very plainly that the Lord Jesus is going to come back visibly in power and glory, not like the babe of Bethlehem. And in that time of future tragedies, those that reject the gospel now, or that it might not speak of any of you, May you hear his call tonight to flee for refuge to the Lord Jesus, that you might be saved from present destruction and from future tragedy. For the Bible reminds us, just let's go now to the book of the Revelation. And let us just go through some of the things that are said there. Things that would tend to make us tremble and shudder. Now, I don't think there's anybody that has ever read through this book and has understood all that they read. But I don't know anybody that has read this book without having thought, there's terrible things there. Things that cause alarm regarding the future. Will it be true that all these things are going to happen in the world? You can't read this last book of the Bible without that impression. You mightn't understand all that it's talking about, but you'll be impressed with tragedies to come. So much so that when we start early in the book and get to chapter 6, it tells us about the days ahead before the Lord Jesus, or on the great day of the Lord. And it tells us in verse 12, "And I beheld when he opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, and the chief captains and the mighty men, and every bondman and every free man." Ah, yes, money doesn't deliver them now. "And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne, and from the wrath, the anger of the Lamb." Now this man that's called the Lamb is the one that came into this world in that humility and meekness of a little lamb. He was the one who gave his life as the lamb led to the slaughter. But now it's this same Jesus who wept over Jerusalem. "Oh, Jerusalem, how often I wanted to save you, but you didn't listen to me. And now the day of your destruction has come. And now these people, the rich, can't be delivered by their wisdom, their science, and their money. And they cry for refuge. They flee to the caverns of the mountains to hide them from the face of the Almighty who once died to save them. And now it's too late." You know, they're words that make us shudder. When we think of the tragedy of fleeing to escape a danger and being unable to find a refuge, thank God we can preach the gospel, which reminds us of the refuge that is in Christ Jesus. If you go on chapter by chapter, you see greater tragedies. Tragedies of things coming upon the earth that cause pain and torment. So much so that the people of the earth try to commit suicide and they can't. Now that seems an impossibility. That you can't commit suicide? Well, the Bible says that there's coming a time when God won't let you. God, why the Bible says that our breath is in his hand. God is omnipotent. And in those days, God says, people have tried to take their own lives to end their torment, and they won't be able to, because this is a time of retribution to the foolish ones that don't take heed to his pleading invitation, come unto me. But then, what impresses me that though we face this terrible reality, It's not the fear of these things that generally causes people to get saved. It awakened me to my need. But that wasn't what led me to get saved and respond to the cries of the Lord Jesus. It was rather Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. Well, it wasn't these words, but it was the reality of what it says here. It says in Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, despisest thou, do you despise, treat lightly, the riches of his, the Lord's goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Paul is saying here that in face of the reality of eternal judgment, God shows his love towards us in pleading with us. And he says, can you turn a deaf ear? Can you despise his goodness? His goodness in what sense? Well, he's provided a savior. You haven't got to pay anything to get saved. He's good in providing a free salvation. But not only that, of the goodness of God. It speaks here of his forbearance and long-suffering. That means for years he's put up with your hard heart. He's put up with your turning a deaf ear to his pleas. You've heard the gospel preached on many occasions, and you've turned a deaf ear. You've despised the love of the Lord. You'd think that God would say, well, I've had enough. I won't give him another opportunity. I've warned him, I've pleaded, and he's despised my love and my goodness. That's the end. But it's not the end. You're here tonight. God's patience. You know, that's what broke me down. As of a young lad of 14, I just thought of his goodness, his patience. What if he had have come the week before? I'd have lost my opportunity of being saved. What if a near accident that I thought of, the car had hit me, and it had been the end, I'd have never had another opportunity to be saved. What goodness, what forbearance, how God had put up with me, hearing the gospel so many, and I'd gone out of the meeting just as I came in. His long suffering, his patience with me. I thought, I can't wait any longer. I can't despise his pleadings any longer. This certainly, he may not give me another opportunity. It was his loving kindness, his goodness, that caused me to flee from the wrath to come, and to do as the chicken fled to the refuge of the wings of the hen in view of the danger before. May the Lord use his written words to touch your heart this evening.